But let's see, his first, oh my God. So his first four trips to the playoffs, a 923, an 886, 958.
Holy crap.
And then 950. Those are the first four trips. The next four trips, 863, 926, 938, 939. That was the year they lost in the final.
To Dallas?
Yeah. He had a 939.
Wow.
Dominik Hasek's a better goalie than Patrick Waugh. We're done.
Yeah. No, that's true. Yeah.
We're done here.
Yeah, I'll give that to you. Yeah.
Okay. You know, it's funny because, like, I always hear people saying about how much better Hasek's numbers are, but I never actually looked for it myself. And damn.
Like, it's damning.
It's kind of. I mean, I would like to see Patrick Waugh's save percentage in the 80s adjusted for era. But even then, the highest scoring season in NHL history is, I think, it's like 81-82 or 80-81 or something like that. Or maybe 82-83. It's the beginning of the 80s.
Yeah.
Like,
is that points per...
Just like, I think it might be goals scored or something. Right. Or goals per game.
Yeah.
It was like 8 goals a game or something like that. Something nuts like that.
Wow.
Yeah. Today we're at like, what? 5?
I think there were a couple days this week that... A couple days where the NHL hit 7. 7.2.
There were all those crazy games.
Yeah.
That all happened to be on NBCSN.
The Pittsburgh game.
Yeah.
And then the light beer version of that game, the Rangers in Dallas.
Yeah. And then and then there was another game the day after that, Colorado and Chicago, I think.
Yeah.
And that was another back and forth crazy ass game.
Yeah, two bad teams. Welcome back to the Garage Hockey Podcast. Apologies for the long hiatus. Hopefully everyone had a wonderful New Year's celebration, and 2017 is off to a running start. Hope your New Year's resolutions are holding strong, and if they're not, well...
There's always next year.
At least you made them, and at least you're trying to better yourself. I'm certainly not a New Year's resolution hater, so anyway... Back joining me, Nick and Joe Berger. Boys,
yo,
how we doing?
Doing well. If it's possible to take an accidental hiatus, we did it.
Yeah, we won't make any excuses. We were just out for a little bit, but we're back, and I don't foresee any more hiatuses. So
no, I don't either.
That's good. All right, to the hockey. We're about 47-ish games into the NHL season, which means we have a lot more to talk about than the last time we did a podcast, which was like... the third week of December, it feels like now.
Yeah.
But a lot of things have happened. Storylines, no big trades, but we definitely have a clear picture of the, you know, the bigger sort of scheme of the league, you know, who the teams we should be caring about, the teams that are, some teams are done already.
Yeah.
Some teams have been done, but now they're very done.
Some teams are sending prospects down to the minors.
Some teams, okay, so a brief note before we jump in. Yesterday, the Arizona Coyotes sent Anthony Duclair, who I don't think is having a good season, but no. Like, I don't know who is on Arizona besides like Mike Smith, apparently.
Yeah, that's it.
They sent him down to the minors, which is just bizarre, but it's a tank move.
Yeah, they were citing like attitude issues, if you don't want to play, then you're not going to play. You know, that kind of thing.
And there might be something to that.
Yeah, yeah, there may be. But, you know...
He's a young guy.
You can say that about possibly the whole organization.
Yeah. And the thing with Arizona is I don't think they were trying to be bad this season.
No.
Like, the moves they made this summer didn't map to another lost season. It mapped to, like, we're gunning for the 8th seed.
Yeah, they're probably trying to shadow what Toronto's been doing. You know, maybe... Yeah. Obviously, I think Toronto is also doing better than they thought they were
okay.
going to do.
Okay. So just in case... For the listeners who might have not followed as closely because of our absence, I totally understand that, you know. Toronto is a good team. The hashtag the Leafs are actually good.
They're good.
Yeah.
It's weird to say. I kind of can't get the words out of my mouth.
Yeah. So the Leafs are very good. But anyway, we're going to get to all that and more. I wanted to start off on a positive note because, as our listeners may be aware, I'm fully capable of a negative tone. So we're going to start We're going to, because, you know, it's fun to rip teams, okay? But anyway.
Yeah. TheHockeyWriters.com, you guys.
Yeah, sure. so we're going to talk contenders to start. And I feel like this will be a good way to start sort of sorting everything out. We'll just say 50 games in the season now. Who are your surefire contenders? Like, if, and I'm not going to put you on the spot quite yet, but who are those teams right now that you think are going to be playing hockey well into the month of May?
I think Pittsburgh will be, like,
really
hot take. But
that's kind of hot. That's kind of warm.
I mean, they look great. The big issue with them is goaltending.
Right now it is, yeah.
Yeah, because Marc-Andre Fleury has had an up-and-down season, and I'm sure sitting on the bench more often than he's used to is not suiting him. And then Matt Murray has had injuries and issues. So I think that's the big question mark. But if that can play well enough, kind of like it did against San Jose, then they're going to be very fine, I think.
Right. Joe, who are your... Nick, first, before we move on to Joe, so outside of Pittsburgh, I mean, obviously, there's got to be a couple other teams you're thinking of.
Yeah, I mean, Washington, I don't think they're going to win the Cup.
Yeah, I was going to start out with Washington because I was just going to skate over them because you know they're going to be out.
I really think they're going
to
be out.
They're going to make it to the second round and they're going to be out.
Yeah, I mean, it's based on nothing other than the fact that
they haven't done it.
That they haven't done it, which... Yeah. I feel like a hypocrite for saying, because that's what everyone used to always say about the Sharks, and I would be like, okay, well, it's a new season, every season is different, you know, there are different players, different coaches, but negativity aside, they look stupid good. Alex Ovechkin has caught fire, Holtby is being
having
great.
Having a Vezina-type season.
Vezina-type season.
Actually, well, why don't we say type? He's having a Vezina season.
He's having a Vezina season. Okay. Let's just own it entirely. Yeah. Let's not be lukewarm.
He's playing better than Carey Price right now.
Yeah, he is.
So let's just say that.
Yeah. So
hard for me to say, by the way.
Yeah. So I feel like a cliche machine saying that I think Washington and Pittsburgh are really good, but I think Washington and Pittsburgh are really good.
There you go.
So
that's the kind. This is the Nick I like. This is the Nick I'm trying to get every podcast.
Yes.
Some firm takes. But it's okay. All right, Joe, who you got?
I mean, you know, they're the teams like, you know, Pittsburgh, Washington, San Jose, the teams that you know are going to be in it pretty deep. But, you know, so the team that you wouldn't necessarily think of, like, in the past, maybe this season you would. Actually, in this season you should. That I think is going to make a deep playoff run is Minnesota. Like, you know, they're beating everyone.
Minnesota.
You know, like, you know, they have the goalie. They, you know, they've... somehow, you know, bolster the lineup with Eric Staal.
Yeah.
I think somehow is definitely an appropriate word.
Yeah. I mean, they're scoring goals, they're shutting teams down. Like, they're doing everything you need to do to win.
They have the Bruce Boudreau pixie dust.
Yeah. And and obviously the coach. You know,
yeah.
He's no stranger to making, you know,
teams better
yeah.
as soon as he gets there and keeping them good.
And they're getting contributions up and down the lineup, too. Yeah. Michael Granlund is playing very well.
He figured out Michael Granlund.
He finally figured it out. I didn't think it was going to happen.
Yeah.
And then Charlie Coyle playing very well, Spurgeon.
Yeah, but like their defense is definitely... like. I've been a Ryan Suter critic in the past just because I think he's overrated through no fault of his own. I think that he just plays too much. I think like he doesn't need to play 27, 28, 29 minutes a night.
And Boudreau has scaled him back from his previous.
They've been trying to get him down to 24, yeah. Which I think to me, because at a certain point, someone made this point on another podcast, but it's like it's kind of diminishing returns.
Yeah.
You know, and I think he's having a very good season.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're not really dominating at 5-on-5, but when it's Boudreau, you just kind of.
I just kind of
assume that that's just how it goes.
You a guy like Suter, you keep him, you know, fresh, for lack of a better term. And then in the playoffs, if you need to shorten the bench and go with 4D, maybe even 3D,
can do that.
Yeah, they have that luxury with
yeah.
him.
So I'm hearing a lot of, well, I've heard two Eastern teams so far and one Western team. I mean, we got to talk quickly about the San Jose Sharks because... they were Cup finalists last season. You two are, you know, clearly guys who watch them more than, you know, me. So what have you seen from them this season? Are they, I mean, because they're not really running away with their division. It kind of feels like they're just kind of exploring their way through the season.
Well, it's interesting. I agree with the exploring the way through the season, but if you compare last season and this season, when you think about it, this season they've had, you know, consistently someone's been out, whether it's Hurdle,
yeah,
Carlson, Couture. You know, someone has been out.
Schlemko.
Yes.
Obligatory David Schlemko reference.
And last season, when Couture was out, there was a huge difference without him in the lineup than, you know, when he finally came back. Like, they looked like that cup contender team when he overcame the blood clotting problem. But it wasn't blood clots. It was...
Who? I think...
Was it like a hole in an artery?
Who?
Oh, I don't remember. It was weird.
Couture. He broke his leg.
Oh, I don't know.
And then he came back for like a game or for a practice, and then he had to leave because there was like an arterial problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, this season has sort of been the same. You know, they've been missing guys, you know, like that, like Donskoy. And, you know, they sort of just keep going. Obviously, with everyone in the lineup, I think, and, you know, when it gets closer to playoff time, you're going to see them be much more of the team you're going to see in the playoffs. But like right now, like, you know, there's always people out, people that you think that they would rely on in the playoffs, and they seem to not really miss them ever.
There are two things that stand out to me about San Jose. One, their power play has not been that good this season. It's just been middle of the road. And a big reason for that, I think, is the entries into the zone. When they set up, they're pretty much fine.
Oh, yeah. They're like maybe the best, yeah, when they're set up.
But a lot of times they have trouble entering the zone, and I think that's been a big issue for them.
And that's where you would like a David Schlemko type.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's his bread and butter.
Yeah. I think I said it to you on the failed podcast that I don't know what his completion percentage is, if you will, to use a quarterback term, but his pass completion percentage, particularly on breakouts, has to be damn near 100%.
Like, it's not out of the question, especially if he's not dumping it all that much.
Yeah, exactly.
And
then the other thing was, we thought that guys like Donskoy and Tierney, after the way they played last year, would take a big step forward. And there's, you know, Donskoy has had trouble generating slump. Offense. I wouldn't say that he's playing terrible by any means.
Whenever I see him with the puck, I think he looks good.
Yeah, so it's not going in for whatever reason. But those kind of guys that we thought would take another step in their development have kind of just plateaued. I wouldn't say taken a step back, but they've plateaued. Guys like Joel Ward, who had, I think, 20 goals last year, has like 4. Bodker has 6. So a lot of guys have struggled with inconsistency. I don't think Joe Thornton has scored on a goalie yet.
Well, that's what I was about to bring up. The elephant in the room has been that Joe Thornton isn't really Joe Thornton this season. Like, even I know he's getting the assists, but it just doesn't really, it feels like this is the year we're starting to see a bit of a bit of the aging effect.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I know he's never been a goal scorer, or at least in recent years he hasn't been. There was a time when he was actually getting a lot of goals, but I don't know. I just think that it's not even that he's not scoring. He's not even shooting.
Yeah,
he's not shooting.
I've always hated, you know, the you know, flack that Thornton gets from fans. You know, because you know, they're always like, you know,
about not shooting.
Yeah, you know, he's not a goal scorer and he doesn't shoot. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he prefers to pass it off even when he's in a good shooting position. And I'm going to trust, when Joe Thornton makes a pass, I'm going to trust his judgment.
Yeah, as you should.
Yeah, you know, passing it over to Joe Pavelski, a great shooter, you know, is probably better than, you know, whatever Thornton thinks that the goalie's giving him. So I'm going to trust his judgment when he makes those passes. There's some, obviously, where you're like, dude, you're right in the middle, take the shot. But this season, it's actually been noticeable that he's not putting pucks towards the net as much.
Yeah, I think there's something there, and I think it's a little, I mean, it's not surprising. He's what, 38 now?
Yeah.
And that's about the age. I mean, he's well past the age now where you start seeing decline, and he's been, I mean, for lack of a better word, he's just been fighting it off for the last, it feels like, 5-7 years. We haven't really seen a decline in his game, but maybe this is the year. And I don't even like using the word decline, but it's just, it has to happen at some point.
I think the playoffs will be a big indication. Like when Boston made the playoffs with Jágr, and I think when he was with Dallas to start the year, then he got traded to Boston, correct? And he was having a good season with Dallas.
He was having an okay season, from what I remember.
And then just sort of dropped off with Boston.
Yeah.
And it sort of seemed like...
Nope, it's over.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Jágr might be on PEDs. I'm just saying that. You don't just rebirth at 43.
I mean,
but anyway, certain things are legal in the Czech Republic that aren't here. That's okay. All I'll say.
Yeah, but like I thought that the playoffs with Boston was kind of a sort of an indication of, you know, where his career is going. Obviously, he has taken, you know, steps to counter, you know, the diminishing returns. But watching him in the playoffs compared to when he started the season, it was like, oh, you know, it's like, you know, maybe it's the length of a season is just sort of caught up with him.
And he played in the World Cup.
Yeah.
So and he was in the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah.
That's a short summer.
Yeah. So, like, I you know, with Thornton, you know, I think the playoffs is a big, it will be a big indicator this season. I can very easily see him, you know, right now, his production as sort of coasting to the playoffs.
I'd like to see his takeaway numbers because that's always been, or at least in the past 7 or 8 years, that's been a big hallmark of his, is that he's one of the leaders in takeaways. And I think that could be a big indicator of actually like really slowing down or not, because when you think about him not shooting the puck, Joe mentioned it with Pavelski, when you're playing with Pavelski and Marlow, you know, why wouldn't you pass it to them if you get the chance? But also Brent Burns, he and Thornton are out on the ice together a lot, and Brent Burns
shoots a lot.
He shoots a lot, and he also weirdly gets a lot of room to shoot. Like I've noticed that a lot of teams will collapse on San Jose when the puck is low, and then that gives guys like Thornton a lot of room to pass it out high to Brent Burns.
Well, it's because the way the Sharks play, they do a lot of, they move a lot off the puck along the goal line. And this is actually, I read this really great article during last season's playoffs where it's kind of like in basketball, like you're switching a lot. Like you're just moving so much off the puck that you're forcing teams to make impossible decisions. And there's a lot of puck movement that goes into that. And I feel like maybe teams have now kind of figured that out, or not figured that out, but they're much more aware of it.
Yeah.
And they're trying to stop it. And that's kind of leaving the guys at the blue line open, because their mentality is probably, well, if we can just kind of neutralize what's going on down low, we'll live with a point shot.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, because you're not in the house when you're at the point.
But anyway.
Unless you're Brent Burns, it's not really a dangerous scoring area. Or Shea Weber.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to think deflections and things in that nature.
Yeah.
Okay, but anyway, the Sharks, that was a long-winded way of saying that we're not totally sure what to make of them right now. It just doesn't feel, they're just not, they don't look like contenders right now.
They have not played their best hockey yet.
They have not played their best hockey. I think you give them the benefit of the doubt because of what they've shown, because of the team they've been. But maybe this is the season where you maybe just have a little less, you give them a little less rope than you might have in previous seasons, just given all the miles on those bodies and you know, things like that. But I would still have them in that, maybe not firmly contender conversation, but they're maybe just one notch below that.
Yeah,
I would
say. It's like work in progress,
which is not a bad place to be.
Yeah.
Okay. So we got San Jose, who's maybe somewhere in there. I think firmly Washington, Pittsburgh, Minnesota. I love Minnesota. I love the story there, but I think Columbus is more in that conversation than they are.
Yeah,
you know. Although, if you want to look at it from a standings or from a playoff system point of view, Minnesota might have the easier road to the Stanley Cup final than Columbus will.
Yeah,
going through that Metro Division. I think, to me, if we're going to talk contenders, the team I'm really looking at is the Washington Capitals. And I know that they haven't done it yet, but there's been so much written about them lately. And, you know, just watching them closely, this team doesn't really have a weakness.
I think their defense has improved a lot.
Their defense has improved. I still think that if you're to pick one weakness out of that team, that's probably it. I think their forwards, I think they might have the best forwards in the league. especially now with that third line with Lars Eller. I think that that's really solid. Is it Eller, Burakovsky, and I'm forgetting one other guy, but they're just really, really deep this season. Mm. And I, you know, for the longest time with Washington, the big trouble was, well, they're not four lines deep. Like they are now. Mm. And, you know, maybe they could do a little bit better than Jay Beagle on the fourth line.
Or Tom Wilson.
Oh, in a fourth line role, they're not bad.
Yeah.
I think that they have a lot of questions to answer in the off season. So, you know, with Carl Alsner is going to be a free agent, Kuznetsov is going to be an RFA. But you look at this team as presently constituted, I think they're the best team in the league.
Yeah, I think so too. They're scoring so many goals right now. I think they've scored 7 goals in back-to-back games.
But they don't need to, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, because they have Braden Holtby.
They have Braden Holtby, and they have a very good blue line. That being said, I like them better than Pittsburgh, but I think it's like a 1A, 1B situation.
Mm. Yeah. Again, the leg up in goaltending is without a doubt on...
And on defense. Because Pittsburgh's blue line isn't scaring anyone, and it wasn't last season either.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, Letang and Daly, and then after that, You know,
Lovejoy, Schultz.
Mata.
Oh, then you got Ian Cole. I mean, like, they've made it work. They've won a Stanley Cup with that group. But if I'm comparing pound for pound with the Capitals, I'll take their blue line.
Yeah, I agree. And with the speed of Pittsburgh's forwards, the Penguins' defense doesn't have to be that precise. They can flip the puck out.
That's what they do.
Yeah, and just let the forwards go after it. It's funny that back around playoff time, you and I were saying that the scales tip in Pittsburgh's favor because they have the better defense, and now we're saying the opposite.
For Washington and Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
I said that?
You did say that.
Okay.
I have text messages to confirm.
Well, I mean, as much as I love Chris Letang, and he's fantastic, like he's a top 10 defenseman, I think he's not really... He's not like a rock on defense, you know. He's very good at what he does. He's a great puck mover, and he takes a lot of chances offensively.
It's like Keith.
Yeah, but I just don't think he's as strong defensively, even as Keith maybe.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because to be elite, and he is elite, but to be as one of the three best playing the way he does, you have to be like a Carlson, basically, just otherworldly with the puck. And Letang is very, very good with the puck, but I don't think
he has a lot of help up front.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, all that to say that I really like Pittsburgh, and you know, I made that comment that Washington has the best forwards. I'll stick with it, but man, it's tough to ignore what's going on in Pittsburgh up front.
Yeah.
Switching gears on teams quickly. In the failed podcast, I think we brought up that, you know, St. Louis looked pretty good, and you know, it hasn't been that long since the podcast, and suddenly St. Louis has just sort of fallen off.
Well, because they just don't have goaltending.
Yeah, I know. Like they literally, like they're going on a road trip. They literally left their goalie at home.
Yeah. like they have to switch goalies twice in a game. It just looks bad right now. And
I think they said that Allen's been pulled in 3 straight games. Like getting pulled in 2 straight games is not good.
And I love St. Louis's team, and I would put them in that category where maybe, well, it's a bit unfair to San Jose, but I would have them a bit right now outside looking in on the contender conversation. But if it solely based on their goaltending, because if they just had a normal average goaltender, they'd be fine.
It's going to be interesting. Like they better figure the goaltending situation
out. Well, it'll come around. It won't stay this bad. It just won't. That's just how it works.
I mean, it won't. Like they should have time to get Allen right, but like, if you, you know, some of the, like NBC was breaking down, it was NHL Network, they were breaking down basically his play over the past little bit. And like, he's not doing anything technically sound.
Yeah. And I mean, look, his confidence is probably pretty low right now.
Oh yeah.
And he's probably just kind of abandoning the things that got him there I'm just speculating. I don't actually know, but that's kind of what happens when goalies go through slumps. I think their goaltending will come around, but even if it comes around, that's kind of the way these things work is when you go so far below the average, sometimes you kind of get a violent upswing So we could see a really hot streak from Jake Allen somewhere down the line. That's just kind of how these things can go. Coming back to Washington versus Pittsburgh, though, because I think that's where it's funny, because a lot of people talk about, you know, in the NBA, you really only have two teams that can win the Stanley or the NBA championship, Cleveland and Golden State. But it kind of feels like that in the NHL right now a little bit.
A little.
You have two or three teams that really you feel good about.
I mean, part for me, for personally, the way that I've viewed contenders over the past 5 years or so, it has slowly been changing. Like it used to be okay, you know, they were top of the league in the regular season. You know, they should be doing much better. And then it sort of became, oh, like teams play differently in the playoffs than in the regular season. So, you know, a team that might have regular season success might not necessarily be good for a long run in the playoffs.
Well, the Capitals are the poster boys of that.
Yeah. And, you know, last season, it's sort of like whenever you bring up, like, Anaheim's been top of the Pacific for, you know,
a while now.
Yeah. And every time, you know, it is surprising, and you bring it up because it's surprising. But, you know, every time I always think, they're not going to make a deep run in the playoffs.
Like, it feels like empty calories.
Yeah, like they're just like they're not going to win the cup.
It's interesting.
All right, well, you heard it here first.
we are in San Jose.
Like, there are certain teams that you look at and it's like they don't have all the pieces.
It's a mirage.
Like they would have to be on a 2 month hot streak.
Well, you have to win the playoffs. I think with the NHL though, you have to look at who's playing the best in the last 20 games or so.
Yeah.
That's usually the best way to predict who's going to win the cup. So we're not really there yet, but we're fast approaching.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why you see low seeds do well in the playoffs. One, there's parity, but I think it's possible that there's something to be said for when you have to be scratching and clawing for those last places, those last playoff positions. And you're playing like your tail is on fire going into the playoffs, then like that can kind of roll over into the postseason.
That's probably why the lockout shortened season was so interesting, because there are 48 games. It's a
sprint.
Yeah. So,
yeah. And I love that season. All right. So we've talked about the teams we feel confident are right in that mix, but I think there's definitely a sort of second tier of teams that could, you know, potentially squeeze in, and I think St. Louis is one of them. I don't want to put the Sharks in a second tier.
They're sort of in this weird purgatory in between.
But I think they're kind of like, you know, for all intents and purposes, let's just put them there for practicality's sake. Another team that I think belongs there is the Montreal Canadiens, because I think that they haven't played very well as of late. They haven't really looked particularly great in the last 10 games or so. But look, they're atop of the Atlantic Division, and they're playing much better than they have in the past. A lot of their underlying numbers paint this picture of a really just solid team. And then, you know, Carey Price also hasn't looked very good lately.
But like at the end of the day, and you're going to hear it all over the place, but you know that they still have Carey Price.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you take that and you run with it.
And he hasn't gotten that much help either.
And they haven't really been healthy for about 2 months.
Yeah.
So, this team could give a Washington or a Pittsburgh, or we'll get to them later, but a Columbus a lot of trouble.
And Alex Galchenyuk just came back and scored.
Yeah.
He's playing well with Alexander Radulov, so.
Well, and that's the thing. This team went healthy. I don't want to just reduce them to they could give it one of those teams trouble. Like, they could beat Washington or Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. They're good enough. They're deep enough. And then you throw in Carey Price, and it's like...
I mean, the only... Pretty much the only reservations I have about Montreal... I mean, obviously, I don't think their roster is as good. Like, if you look at their skaters, is as good as, you know, someone like Washington Pittsburgh.
But that's the cream of the crop.
Yeah, you know, but, like, those two teams are, you know, like you said, sort of like the Warriors and the Cavs.
Yeah.
You know, but Montreal, particularly when you throw in Carey Price, they definitely have the talent to compete and
win.
They have the pieces to win.
Yeah.
But the reservation that I'm always going to have with Montreal, and I see you shaking your head, which you know I'm going to say, is Michel Therrien.
Well, you have to trust that he's going to compose the lines in an optimal way.
Do you trust that he'll do that?
Well, I think in the playoffs we'll see. I think in the regular season he does a lot of he overthinks it way too much. We'll see in the playoffs, because when they've put Radulov, Galchenyuk, and Pacioretty together, they've looked dominant. Like, one of the best lines I've ever seen.
As they probably should. Period.
Yeah, I mean, like, Pacioretty's on pace for, you know, around 40 goals.
As he usually is.
Yeah, and Galchenyuk, in the games he has played, he's around a point per game pace.
And Radulov is...
He's the engine.
Yeah, like, he's the playmaker on that line. Like, he's so creative.
He's so creative, and he's got so much... I'm definitely not one of those guys that talks about intangibles all that much, but he's got those intangibles.
Mm-hmm.
You just watch him play. You hear the things that he says, what his teammates say about him, more importantly.
Yeah, he thinks the game differently.
Yeah, and that matters.
Yeah, it pays off.
It really looks like the offense runs through him, like, yeah. Especially on the power play. And sometimes he tries some things on entries that maybe he shouldn't, and then, you know, it sort of stalls out. But
you live with those.
You live with that because, exactly, he can give you... you know, so much more on the positive end of that spectrum.
Yeah. So in the playoffs, that's the question, because it's very doable to shut down one guy. And offense runs through, like you said, make it one line. But if that one line, the offense runs through one guy, if, you know, he, like you said, with the entries, if teams are starting to key on him in the playoffs, maybe he, you know, the way he enters the zone, it's sort of because... you know, he thinks that he's good enough to hold on to the puck and just hold on to it long enough to enter the zone and then get off or get a shot, you know, make something happen. But in the playoffs, there's going to be less room. Players are keying on him. And if he holds on for the puck too long, they never get deeper than the blue line.
Well, but that's the thing, though, is that they're not just one line. You know, you look at the second line, or ideally the second line when they're healthy, you got Gallagher, Plekanec, and Lekkonen. And that's a really good line.
Yeah. Arturi Lekkonen is not getting enough attention.
Yeah, Lekkonen has been quietly one of their better forwards. He's kind of like a cross between... he's got a little bit of Gallagher in his game, but he's a little bit more, like, sublime.
Yeah.
And, you know, Plekanec has been kind of declining. You could kind of flip Plekanec or Darnay as their second center. And then Philip Danault has, like, been amazing for them.
Yeah.
And then even Torrey Mitchell has looked good at times.
Yeah, like, he's sort of on pace to match... his career numbers, which obviously not a huge accomplishment.
Yeah, but still, he's having a good season.
Yeah, it's good, yeah.
And then defensively, you know, with Bolia, Shea Weber, I mean, Shea Weber's having a really good season. Their best pairing this season, because Jeff Petrie's having a Norris-type season.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to get enough points, maybe, to be in that conversation, but he's having a fantastic year. And maybe their best pairing this season has been Yemelin and Weber. Like, they've been really good together, to my surprise. And then, you know, Bolia and Barbario has looked good.
I think Bolia looks very good. And he's been on the power play too, right?
Yeah, I think they're thinking about trading him, though. So we'll see how that goes.
Could that be a possible... like, say they are interested in Cam Fallon, that's the person they're trying to get.
I think that might... well, it's... I don't want to go there quite yet.
Kevin Shattenkirk, baby.
Oh, yeah. Well, Shattenkirk's like a top four defenseman.
I still...
maybe even top pairing.
I don't mean to, like, veer off, but I was thinking about this at work today, and I can't figure out why a team that is firmly contending would want to trade their best defenseman.
Well, because they don't think he's their best defenseman.
Yeah. I've heard starting last year, it was Pietrangelo. That, you know, they value Pietrangelo more than Shattenkirk.
They should trade Pietrangelo, but they never will because he's the captain and this and that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, the Habs look good, and... As long as Carey Price plays his game...
Is Pietrangelo the captain?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That totally went over my head.
Yeah. He's the captain. I just think, like, they're right there with Pittsburgh and Washington. I can't firmly say that they're contenders like those two teams, but once the puck drops in the playoffs, like, who's their first-round opponent going to be? That's going to be a big key for them getting, you know, to the conference finals, because they might play a decent Metro team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Although I think they'd beat the Rangers. The Rangers are a mess.
They're starting to look the way we kind of predicted.
And Henrik Lundqvist is... talk about...
bad.
I mean, it's kind of like what's happened with Joe Thornton a little bit, although not nearly With Joe Thornton, not nearly as bad as Lundqvist, but Lundqvist is struggling hard.
Bad goals are going in.
Antti Raanta has been better
than
Henrik Lundqvist this season, which pains me to say, but it's true.
Yeah. And, you know, it seems like because they ran with Antti Raanta for a decent stretch there, and it seems like they're trying to give Lundqvist a chance to play his way out of this.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I think he got the win the other day, but bad goals are going in.
They were smoke and mirrors that first month. That's what they were. And now they are who they are. I mean, I think they've had a couple injuries too, though.
Your friends at the Garage Hockey Podcast told you so.
Well, no, I was pretty high on them to start the season, but
after we remembered them.
Yeah. So yeah, I think I said it, or I don't know if I told you guys this, but I was talking to my dad the other day about this, and I told him, yeah, I think the Cup champs this year are going to be an Eastern team.
I think so too.
And then you have Columbus, who's just knocking everyone's socks off. No one expected them to be where they are. They're just kind of good at everything.
Mm.
They have the best power play. They're really good at 5-on-5. They have maybe the best goalie right now, or at least one of the three best goalies in Bobrovsky.
Yeah.
It's
almost like, what else is
there
to say?
What do you make of this? Like, if this team, if you didn't know this team was the Blue Jackets, you say, yeah, that's the best team in the NHL.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
because it's the Blue Jackets, because it's Tortorella, you just don't quite know what to make of them. So
their goal differential is stupid.
It's like plus 40 something.
Plus 47.
Yeah. Look, they're no pushover either. Like, I might even put them in that limbo a little bit where San Jose is of, like, but for a different reason, where San Jose has underperformed. Columbus has overperformed so high, you know, relative to the expectations, that I'm not brave enough to put them there, but I can't put them any lower than between that first surefire group and the second tier.
I think that's fair.
You know,
yeah, they're right there. Yeah. Like, how could we deny
how,
that?
How else? What else can you say?
And I'm right there with you. I'm not brave enough to put them any higher.
Yeah, I just, I don't know.
Yeah, if we're playing strip poker with, you know, NHL playoff predictions, I'm not feeling amazing about it. But, like, I mean, credit where credit is due.
Like, I'm not going to see your Pittsburgh and raise you Columbus.
Yeah.
Columbus, if I'm looking at these standings correctly, Columbus is above Pittsburgh in the standings.
They are by a point.
Yeah. All right. So that kind of rounds out the positivity. We've talked a lot about we've praised some teams, like straight up praise mode.
Yeah. Bless up emoji. Yes.
I think one last team to kind of mention, because now they're all of a sudden people are talking about them. Calgary's playing really well.
Yeah.
And their goaltending's sort of recovering from an early season thrashing.
Chad Johnson is kind of the guy.
Chad Johnson is still playing better than Brian Elliott.
We all saw that coming, right, guys? Right? Guys, where are you going? Guys?
But Calgary looks good all of a sudden. I won't really make anything of it more than it is, which is a 10-game, you know, kind of hot streak. But look, they have the talent.
I know, whenever you see a team go on a hot streak, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 games, the indicator of how good they are the next 10 games.
And they've also been, like, the third best Corsi team in that stretch, which is really encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
But this is kind of where we saw them a little bit more, as opposed to the way they started their season. Like, they, with the talent they have on that roster, they should be a lot better.
Yeah. And
it started off kind of weird, but now it feels like they're leveling out a little bit.
Yeah, they're under a new coach, and, you know, there's not always, but, you know, a lot of times you a coach steps in and it takes a team, you know, maybe even a month or two to get used to them.
Yeah, that's the entire season for the Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah.
Which we'll talk about.
and then on top of that, you know, if they're still getting used to their coach, now that their goaltending in Brian Elliott has been below par. Well below par.
The day they get goaltending is like the day that they start mattering, because it's been a brutal like 3-4 years for them in that department.
Yeah, so, you know, the beginning of the season, they stumbled hard. You know, like, they face planted off the blocks, and, you know, now they're actually, you know, starting to get back into the, you know, back into the middle of the pack.
Well, you look at the names that have, you know, been in their net the last couple of years, like Yoni Ordio, Kari Ramo, Jonas Hiller. I'm probably forgetting another stud.
Yeah.
But it's just, man, it's been a murderer's row. Okay, so I just wanted to briefly mention that. a team that we unfortunately have to talk about. It happens every podcast, but we're going to do it. The Edmonton Oilers look really good. They're a good team. Like, I don't know what else to say.
B-Ray 13, we were wrong. I'm sorry.
I don't know what else to say about the Edmonton Oilers other than that they're a good team in the Pacific Division, which might be the worst division in the league.
I was thinking about the Pacific.
It is, actually. What am I even...
Yeah.
No, I'm not lukewarm.
Yeah, dude.
I'm strong.
Yeah, yeah. Lukewarm is my thing.
I was thinking about the Pacific Division in context of the Flames, actually.
It's awful.
And I was like, you know, at the beginning of the season, I picked the Flames to finish ahead of Anaheim. Not necessarily to be in the playoffs, but to finish ahead of Anaheim. But what's this discrepancy right here? Oh, the Oilers are in second.
Yeah. Look, the Oilers are good, and that's all I'll say.
Yeah.
And they're more than Connor McDavid. They're not much more. They'd be better if they had Taylor Hall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
But they're...
I don't know what else to say.
Like, they're getting...
They're not winning a cup. They have an outside shot. Look, they have an outside shot at the conference finals. And they'll lose. Yeah. Actually, they might even win. Like, I don't know. The West is so bad.
You don't know... Everything we thought was true isn't... Everything that we thought was false is true.
Look,
we don't know.
All I'm trying to get at is the West is so laughable this season.
Yeah.
Just because nothing has really gone the way you would think. And then, like, look, Nat, we thought Nashville would run away with this thing.
My favorite is listening to everyone talk about Dallas. It's like, they won the Western Conference last year, and, you know, what are they doing now? And it's like, they're doing sort of what they should have been doing.
But their goaltending has been good.
That's weird. They're getting good goaltending, and they're still not that good.
And, yeah, and it doesn't help they trade away defense.
Yeah, but then you look at Nashville, and now all of a sudden they're getting good goaltending from UC Soros.
Yeah.
So.
Yo.
I mean, he sounds like a Doctor Who villain.
Yeah.
This season has been...
It's been... The West has been wacky.
This has been...
The wacky West.
A practical joke. Like, this is just weird.
I mean...
There's so much gray area in the Western Conference compared to the East.
I mean, I feel a lot better about the Central Division. Like, that feels more fleshed out to me. Like, yeah. I thought Minnesota would... take a step forward. I didn't think it'd be like this with what's his name, with Devin Dubnyk posting Dominik Hasek playoff like numbers.
Yeah.
But he's done that. And
look, well, you also thought the Chicago would take a huge step back,
and they have. Well, they're at the top of the standings, but they're not good.
They do have four games in hand on a team that's ahead of them in Minnesota.
Yeah.
So.
Actually, that's the other way around.
Minnesota has a games in hand on
Chicago. I think Chicago is nothing more. Nothing more. I'm feeling a hot take.
Yo,
it's about to erupt.
Yo, I want to paint this picture for the listeners really fast. Felix is literally puffing up. He's getting closer to the mic. The chest is out.
Look, they're nothing more than the skilled forwards they have and Corey Crawford at this point in time. That's all they are.
Mm.
And that gets you nowhere in the playoffs.
I've seen them sleepwalk through a lot of games. Like, they didn't even look that good against Boston today, and they still won.
And they got crushed by St. Louis in the Centennial Winter Heritage State Farm Classic.
Yeah, yeah, of NBCSN.
Tostitos.
Yeah, the Chick-fil-A Bowl.
Yeah.
They're not... Anyway, the West sucks. Is it fair to say the West sucks? Look at Winnipeg. They've been brutal.
Andre Pavlik is back
and is just as bad as we remember.
I think that might be a sign of the times in the West.
Like, it's, yeah.
When you're calling on Andre Pavlik for help.
Yeah.
To say, like, when Andre Pavlik is your life alert, yeah, like, you got problems.
We couldn't get Obi-Wan Kenobi. We got Andre Pavlik.
Oh, great.
They've just been... And there are some good teams in the West, but as a whole, it's so bad. Look at Colorado. They're like, I watched them play last night against Anaheim. It was one of I've actually had to watch Colorado twice in the past week. So yeah, I can only imagine what it's like to be an Avs fan.
He's stating it as a punishment that's been imposed upon him.
Yeah, I had to.
It's been bad, and they're awful. They don't even look like they care, which is super funny because I was reading this Denver Post article. It was kind of just examining, you know, Matt Duchene's season, and they had this interview with him, and he was saying, well, you know, the only thing that matters is that everyone in this room cares. And I can say we all care right now. And
And we're all trying our hardest.
Basically paraphrasing, like, that's all that matters, we'll turn it around. And then the first period, like literally 2 days after that quote, in the first period against Anaheim, they get outshot 22-3.
That's bad.
Like, you know, you can never, like, of course the guys care, but if there was ever a time to really say for sure as an outsider that they don't care, like, that would be it.
That would be your opportunity, but
you know, just being bad, like, that period would have been, you know, even if they only put up three shots because they're bad, if they cared, they would not have given up 22.
Yeah.
Like,
and there were 38 shot attempts for Anaheim.
Yeah, like, shots getting through is a sign that you don't care.
And just watching it, too, like, I mean, man, they're playing Francois Beauchemin, like, top pairing minutes, and I know Eric Johnson is hurt, but man, that dude sucks.
So all the big names on that team are in the trade rumors. Landeskog, MacKinnon, Duchesne.
Yeah, like, they're all...
How do we see that playing out?
I think one of them is gone by the end of the season. I don't know which one. If I had to order it in terms of likelihood of getting traded, I would put Duchesne number one. I would put MacKinnon number two.
Man, see,
and then I would put Landeskog number three. And the only reason why I put Landeskog ahead of or right behind MacKinnon is because I think that they value the way Landeskog plays,
that grit, power forward,
and the fact that he's the captain. You know, we have the same birthday, Landeskog and I.
Really?
November 23rd, 1992.
Wow.
Yeah. But anyway,
he was the youngest. He was the youngest captain, right?
Before
McDavid.
And he is a very good player. Look, people that are born on that day tend to be really great. It's just something about it.
It's a scientific fact.
Saku Koivu was also born on November 23rd.
Really?
Yeah. But anyway.
You guys were all destined for greatness.
And look, MacKinnon's not really having that great of a season either.
He only has like 11 or 12 goals.
Yeah. And you would think after the World Cup that this was going to be his year where he's going to put up like 30-30 or something.
Yeah, he looked really good.
Yeah.
Electrifying.
On a really good team.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, like,
well,
and that's the thing, because we were having a conversation with a friend, the three of us were talking to a buddy of ours a few weeks ago.
I don't remember this conversation.
Well, I'll fill you in.
There's actually no reason why you should.
Yeah, let me tell you. Because we were just talking randomly about hockey and about who's having good seasons and whatnot, and I just sort of tossed out the fact that at the time, MacKinnon didn't even have as many goals as Patrick Marleau, and our buddy was saying, "Well, yeah, but look who's around him. You know, Marleau has Joe Thornton and a bunch of guys around there, you know, to set him up."
But I mean, MacKinnon plays with, he's on the first line.
Yeah, but who's getting the puck up to those guys? Tyson Barrie, and that's it.
And Barrie's hurt.
Yeah. So I mean, it's kind of not a surprise that
the defense is really the key there.
Yeah.
It's not so much the forwards.
Yeah.
Because I mean, it's just hockey 101. Like, if you don't have anyone to get the puck up to you, it's going to be really hard.
Yeah.
So they need a defenseman.
They do.
And to tie it all back, I think they're looking at Kemp Fowler. I think everyone's kind of looking at Kemp Fowler, but it makes sense. He's the most tradable asset Anaheim has, and he's the guy. He's the one guy, in my opinion, that they can let go of and not really have any like tangible consequences.
The only reason why they wouldn't let him go, like, because his stock is at a career high at the moment.
It's never going to be higher.
Yeah.
Which is when you trade him, not when he's doing bad.
Yeah, like, even if you don't want to trade him, like, you still get more in return. That's going to help you at the very least next year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you do it, unless you think you need him to win the cup, which they don't. And the only reason why Anaheim wouldn't get rid of him is because they think he's their best defenseman.
I think they think that.
Yeah.
I think they think he's their number one, and then Lindholm is like number two.
So if
you know, Lindholm is far and away.
If Fowler doesn't move one by the deadline, that's the reason why.
Yeah, and I think that's what's... Look, I think there's too much logic here for it to happen. You know what's weird, though? I don't really think Fowler makes anyone's breakout that much better. Because just watching him play, he is one of those guys who you would think would be a great puck mover, but in the most literal sense, he moves the puck. He always skates it up. He rarely makes it like a first pass. He's a guy who's going to try to just bull rush it through the neutral zone. Like, I think everyone's played with a defenseman like that who you kind of get frustrated with because they're always trying to skate it out. instead of just passing it.
Yeah.
And Fowler does that a lot, and as he maybe should, because he's really gifted of a skater, but I don't think he's this elite, like, puck mover. I think he's, like, serviceable. But if you're trading, like, if you're trading Gabriel Landeskog or Duchesne for, like, Cam Fowler, that is a bad trade for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're getting, like, a decent second pairing guy for, like, a franchise forward, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is, and that's the kind of the irony of the trade deadline is when you're, the teams that are sellers are selling guys whose value has never really been lower. Like, you think of all three guys we're talking about, like, they have such little value right now compared to if they were playing well.
Yeah.
But if they were playing well, then they wouldn't be trying to trade them. So it's kind of this funny.
And we saw that with Matt Duchesne last season.
Yeah.
The trade rumors were a flying. And then he started playing well.
Yeah.
It's sort of like he was hate-fucking his team.
That's aggressive.
A little bit.
I mean, I don't think it's... like, the metaphor is... like, the principle is fine. It's just aggressive.
Yeah, but the thing is, he played great, and then I think Colorado was like, oh, like, this is what we thought we were going to get from him this whole time. Now we have him and McKinnon and Landeskog. We have this core. We're going to build around this. And now we're... not really seeing that come to fruition.
Well, they're the Oilers of like 5 years ago.
Looking at the lines for Colorado right now, is Randy Bork's really still in the league?
Still in the league.
Somehow.
Like he's
some way, somehow.
He's on the top line with McKinnon.
Yeah.
That's awful.
That's no top line.
You have problems when Rene Bork and Matt Nieto are in your top six.
Long Beach native Matt Nieto.
Long Beach native Matt Nieto.
All right. Well, I guess we kind of jumped the gun to teams that are cooked.
Yeah.
Colorado for sure. I don't want to waste too much time on this topic, but I think, yeah, Colorado's done. Another team that, well, I guess since we're kind of in that vein, the Islanders fired their coach, something we've been talking about feels like for months now, Jack Capuano, but they did it at kind of a weird time. Like, the season's already over for them, basically. They're well out of a playoff spot, and it just feels like, why now? What I would have done is, if you're not going to fire him at a point where the season could be salvaged, just fire him right after game 82, and that's it.
They have won two in a row, and the only way they're getting back into it is if they rattle off like 10 in a row,
which isn't happening.
Probably not.
Tavares has caught fire though, but
and they're still terrible.
Yeah, they're still bad.
Two in a row.
I guess the big story is that they're talking to Gerard Gallant, which shouldn't be a huge surprise considering he's a top coaching prospect right now. But does Gerard Gallant make them that much better?
I think he might
a little bit, but I just think that roster is so poorly constructed.
Yeah,
I would really be hoping if I was the Islanders for Claude Julien to finally. Get fired.
And that's another one that might happen soon, which is hilarious because I think he's the only reason they're still around.
Yeah.
I think he's so underappreciated.
He's always been.
Yeah.
He was as good as gone before they won the cup.
I mean, the season they won the cup, I think he was on the hot seat.
Yeah. He would have been fired if they hadn't won it.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
goes to show you, teams don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
All right. I think we went around the whole league. Any final thoughts? Anything we didn't discuss?
Is there anything?
No, I think we covered everything.
Well,
I did mention David Schlemko, right?
Yeah,
I did.
You did.
Yeah, so we did cover everything.
yeah, as far as like awards go, I think that the Rookie of the Year is going to be. I think it's Austin Matthews to lose.
Yeah. Agreed.
I mean, he's been one of the best players in the league. Forget best rookies.
But we'll see what Laine does when he comes back.
But I just think Matthews is such a better player.
He's great.
Yeah.
God, they have so many great players, like
Nylander
and
Marner.
Mitch Marner.
Yeah, the Leafs are fun.
It's hard to think that the Leafs are better than Winnipeg right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, I think it shouldn't be that way, but it is. I don't know how Paul Maurice still has a job, but...
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair to Paul Maurice, he's had some of the worst goaltending any coach could ever get. Yeah.
Hellebuck and Hutchinson have not been...
Which is so weird.
Yeah, because they've been good.
Yeah.
Hutchinson has been good in
and
the past.
They've both been terrible at the same time, which is like the worst thing that could ever happen to you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to sink your ship real fast.
Winnipeg should have been better. But like that's how I feel about almost everyone in the West. So.
Yeah. But you know what? MVP talk, Brent Burns. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Brent Burns should be in the conversation, but I think it's going to go to McDavid or Crosby.
It's probably
going to go to Crosby.
Well, I think if I were to pick, I would say, I don't know, actually.
I mean,
I would say McDavid, just like gut instinct, but if I thought about it, I might go to Crosby.
I mean, if last year's playoffs is any indication of, I hate saying this, but you know, like, you know, how much NHL loves Crosby.
Oh my God. No, not this.
Yeah, like he wasn't even the best player on his team in the playoffs. Or in the finals.
Not in the final, no.
Yeah, and you know,
he could have played for the Sharks in the final and still not been the best player.
Yeah.
It was Martin Jones.
You know, yeah, so how's he doing this season?
He's going to the All-Star game.
Yeah. So is Mike Smith.
Yep. Yep. They're worthy. It means they're worthy.
I'm surprised we didn't talk about the All-Star game.
Let's talk about the All-Star game.
No, we will on another episode, because that's...
We can do a post-mortem after the All-Star game.
We'll talk, because I just don't feel that strongly about it. Like, you know,
the teams or the format, or...
The teams, I don't really care. Unless there's an obvious snub, which you could say there is with Cam Atkinson.
Yes.
And Taves over Panarin.
Yes.
Outside of that, I don't feel that strongly about it.
Cam Talbot.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, but it's like splitting hairs almost.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I think it should matter. Like, being an All-Star should be a very high honor. I think the players care about it. I just, as a fan, I barely care. Like, I like watching the game, but I haven't really cared about the game outside of last year.
Yeah.
I mean, before that, it was a joke.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It was boring. It was like watching the Pro Bowl, where they're almost like playing two-hand touch. Yeah.
Well, no one likes really any of the All-Star games in any league.
Yeah. Well, the NBA is the only one that has one you should watch because of the other stuff, not the game itself.
Yeah, the slam dunk contest.
The dunk contest, the three-point contest.
Yeah.
Like, that is worth watching.
I do have to say, it may have been because... Somehow the NHL got me to root for John Scott last year.
Yeah.
But, you know, like,
it was a fun, and, like, the 3-on-3.
Yeah, like, last year was my favorite since, I don't know, maybe, like, 2007.
2007?
That was in,
That was...
I'm trying to think of where that was.
Wait, that was the one in Dallas?
Yeah.
That is impressive.
I think it was Dallas.
That you did that. Nice.
I think it was Dallas.
Yeah.
Because there was one that was meant to be in Phoenix, and it just, like, never happened. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it last year.
Yeah, it was, and the format was perfect.
Yeah.
And one thing I will say, the jerseys this year, also perfect. They're pretty. Just four different jerseys with the four different colors the Kings have worn. I love, and I wish teams would do this more often, where the jersey that teams wear in the All-Star game is sort of like inspired by the team that's hosting it.
Yeah.
It used to sort of be that way, didn't it? Like when it was in San Jose, there was teal. When it was in Minnesota, there was, yeah, you know,
that's
true.
But then, like, the last few years, you've had these weird neon green, like.
Yeah.
Totally Reebok.
Those were awful.
And like last season, the ones were kind of Nashville looking.
Yeah.
A little bit. I mean, the one I always think of is, like, the Montreal All-Star game in 2009.
Yes.
Where those totally looked like, not exactly the Habsburgs, but it was the same colors.
Same colors, yeah.
Yeah, which I think is the way to go. Same colors, maybe not the same scheme per se, but, like, keep it close.
Yeah.
I just think, like, that look that they have this year with the retro sort of, like, classic All-Star game look, that's how it should look every single time.
Yeah, I agree.
You don't have to do anything else. It looks perfect that way.
And it's cool that there are four different jerseys.
Yeah, I think I'm excited for this year's All-Star game. And look, it's going to be in L.A.
So. L.A. is entertainment capital.
And our boy Larry Fisher is going to go to the All-Star game. He's actually of the Facing Off podcast, which I'm like a regular on. Larry is coming down from Edmonton or wherever he lives, Kelowna. Not Kelowna, but... Oh, man, this is so embarrassing. I hope he doesn't listen to this.
He
lives around Edmonton.
You're reverse Pierre Maguire-ing right now, where you know nothing about the people.
he's coming down, and he's going to visit San Jose first. He's like doing this like thing with a travel agency or whatever and another writer, and they're going to visit San Jose. They're going to do a tour of the SAP Center. I think they're going to go to a Sharks game. And then after that, they're going to go down to SoCal, and they're going to do a couple bar crawls up here.
As they should.
And then they're going to go down to Anaheim, catch a Ducks game, and then they're going to catch the All-Star game, and he's going to cover it. So,
wow,
good for him.
Good hockey weekend for Larry.
He's earned it. And hopefully we can catch him for some beers when he's in town, because he'll be in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
He's staying at a hotel off of like Santa Clara Street.
Okay.
So he's like right in downtown San Jose.
Yeah. Right by the tank.
Yeah. So good for him.
We know some places that are walking distance.
So. Yeah. Well, I've never gone to bars in downtown San Jose. So
it is Friday night.
Don't even start.
Uh-oh. All right. Well, hey, this is a good pod. I think we got a lot off our chests.
Yes.
Sorry about the hiatus. It was wasn't really planned, but it just kind of happened, and I think it was fine. You know, I think maybe a little time out of the studio was not needed, but now we're coming back fresh, and I think that the episodes are going to start rolling, because wouldn't you know it, the season's already past the halfway point. In a week or 2 weeks, we're going to be at the All-Star game, which is sort of like that division. That's kind of how we look at both halves of the season, even though by then we'll be like 54, 55, 56 games into the season. And then the trade deadline, and then boom, you got the playoffs. And then
that's going to be a whole bucket of fun.
That'll be it. So looking forward to a lot of fun in 2017.
So the bye week that we took, or the bye 6 weeks.
The bye, whatever it was, just forget about it.
It's behind us. Guys, thank you for listening to another episode of the Garage Hockey Podcast. If you want to hear more, we are on iTunes and Stitcher. We always appreciate a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, because it will help people notice the show. And share it with your friends, maybe. Or not. It's your prerogative.
Well, if you listen to the show, like, tweet at us. Like, let us know you listen.
Yeah.
If there's something stupid I said or one of these two said, let us know. Like, we want to hear back, and we'll engage. You know, we're not above replying to people. So
yeah,
definitely, let us know. We want to involve everyone in the conversation.
It's nice knowing that we're not talking into just a black hole. So we want to know you're out there. Hit us up on Twitter. @ Garage Hockey Pod is the Twitter handle. Our individual Twitter handles are also in the bio. Guys, thank you for listening. We'll talk to you soon.